are in this series on it's called Gifted. And that doesn't mean gifted and talented. Like when I grew up in grade school, gifted and talented were the really smart kids. I did not qualify for the gifted and talented program. I was this close, so close. And my mother said it was the best thing that ever happened to me, was not getting into that program, because it tamed a little arrogance in her son. So, but in God, we all get to come into the gifted program. And it's not like because we are so smart, because we are so impressive. It's because God pours out his Spirit on all flesh, all who believe, all who come to him through Jesus. We get to enjoy the ministry of the Spirit. So I'm going to do a quick recap from last week. But first, I do need to let you know, I did finish the marathon last Sunday. I was able to finish. The goal was to finish in 3 hours and 45 minutes or less. And I finished in 3 hours and 42 minutes and 10 seconds. So that was 26.2 miles, and that was a long run with a lot of hills. But I was thinking about you guys because I ran literally right by this building, came up, we call it Doomsday Hill, came up Doomsday Hill in mile 22, and I was thinking about then it'd be so nice to be coming in here with you. I still had, at the top of the hill, I had 3.5 miles to go. And I knew that Tracy Batterton was speaking here, and I really wanted to be here. So I went, I took advantage of Donald's announcements, and I went to the podcast, and I listened to the message from last week that Tracy shared, and it was so encouraging, so great. So thank you again, Tracy. I know people have already expressed their thanks, but thank you for sharing, investing into our church. Fantastic. I love that we've got several men around who are actually more qualified than I am to speak. And that's great. It's so good. So last week, Tracy focused on apostolic ministry, prophetic ministry, the teaching ministry. And so I'm not going to say much about that because he did a great job. I just want to say this. The role of apostles in the church, apostles equip the church to be an apostolic people. So that all of us, whether we are, most of us are probably not apostles, but we are an apostolic people together. That means we are committed to and focused on the big picture mission of the church around the world, and committed to solid foundations in that. The role of prophets in the church are to equip the church to be a prophetic people. So that means a people that expects to hear from God, people that knows how to respond to the presence of God, what he's saying to us today. How do we apply biblical principle and truth to our situation now? How do we do that? Evangelists. We focused on that a little bit last week as well. Evangelists equip you and me. Evangelists equip the church to be evangelistic, to be engaged in mission wherever we are, to know how to relate to and reach out to lost people who don't know Jesus and draw them into fellowship with him. That's the role of an evangelist in the church. And pastors and teachers, Tracy said last week from Ephesians chapter 4, that role is actually a dual role of pastor-teacher together. We don't get to be the teacher who hates people or the pastor who is going to shepherd the people but knows nothing about theology. It is both together, wrapped together, the pastor-teacher role. Tracy did a great job talking about that. The role of pastor-teachers is to care for and instruct the church in sound doctrine and foster healthy relational atmosphere built on Jesus. So these Ephesians 4 ministries that are also referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, their role in the church is to equip all of us to be the apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral people that are able to instruct those around us. Wow, that's the role of these ministries, foundational ministries in the church. So that's all I need to say about that, because Tracy did a fantastic job with that last week. Now, we've been talking about miraculous gifts. We've focused specifically on the gift of faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, speaking in tongues that we don't know, or languages that we don't know, interpreting those languages. All these gifts that when they're happening in the church, you go, whoa, that's like God is with you. But 1 Corinthians 12 also mentions some other gifts. They're going to pop up here on the screen. We're going to read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just reading it right off of the screen here from the English Standard Version. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church, what we talked about last week, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, all that we've talked about, and then helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. What in the world are these gifts doing in the middle of that? Helping and administrating. All of a sudden, this doesn't sound so glitzy and glamorous, but it is just as important. You realize these are gifts of the Spirit. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit says, we need this in the church. You need this. So some of you, if you've been around church life for a long time, you've heard of Mary and Martha. And Mary, everyone loves to talk about Mary, because Mary drops everything to sit at the feet of Jesus. It doesn't matter that dinner is not ready. It doesn't matter if the house is clean or not clean. She's going to focus on Jesus because Jesus is here and we're just going to be with Jesus. And Martha, my wife says, Martha gets a bad rap. My wife is a very administrative woman. And she relates more to Martha, who says, hey, someone needs to serve the food. And someone needs to see to it that the house is clean. And, you know, the coffee is made. And someone bought the donuts. And there is a room for the children to go to. And the lights are on. And someone paid for the lights to be on. And that's how my wife thinks. I will freely admit, I tend toward the other side, where I'm like, you know what? Let's hang out with Jesus. That'd be really great. If it was just me, if it was just my gifting, we'd be in trouble. If it was just Becca and just Becca's gifting, no one would be happy. But everything would look really good. It would be fantastically put together, and she would be wanting you all to be doing that too. Okay, now, guess where my gifts are, right? My strengths. Because I'm already making it sound really bad. These are not bad gifts. These are necessary gifts. Who is it that did this? God, Tracy hit this last week too. God has appointed gifts of helping, gifts of administration, so that we don't all go to jail because we mishandled the church's money, right? I mean, we need these gifts. Very, very necessary. So they may not be so splashy, but they are just as important, just as inspired by the Spirit, just as empowered
for great effectiveness and purpose in the church. Behind the scenes type gifts are very valuable, and we're going to look at a few of these. But let's look at one more passage first. Paul does this. He mentions these things in several places. Last week, Tracy focused on Ephesians chapter 4. You find it again, and actually in Romans chapter 12. The context before this again speaks of the body and the importance of the body and these different gifts. And then he says this, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Some of them you'll recognize. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Also, gifts of the Spirit. This is another list given in Scripture of gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to mention even a couple more that we find in Scripture. So we're going to go through these a little bit and talk about these very practical gifts that build up the body of Christ. As we're doing this, I want you to be listening to the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit, what gifts have you put into me that I can use to build up the body of Grace Church Spokane? What have you put in me, or what do you want to put in me? So don't just listen to a list of gifts. Listen very actively of, God, how do you want to move through me to build up your church? So the first gift, let's go here, the gift of helping. Very simply, this is those able to help others. The context of this word in Greek, antilimpsis, is in the context of local church involving compassion for hurting people and assisting in caring for them. Not just that I'm going to go help John set up. We're going to make sure that the sound system is set up. And I have the gift of helps. So whatever someone else is doing, I just go and help. This is very specific in terms of helping those in need. Specifically in two areas where this word is used. Ministry to the poor, ministry to the sick. Think about the latest scare, and there's always one, the latest scare going around the media, it's already coming out, I'm seeing it being mouthed, Ebola. And we have two nurses here in the States, in Texas, who have been infected with Ebola. Many more people infected in Liberia, in Sierra Leone. There are doctors over in Africa right now. They don't have the resources they need to minister effectively to all of these patients with Ebola. These doctors themselves have been exposed to the disease, and they are living, some of them, living in their cars, sleeping in their car, and getting up and going back in and serving the sick. And they don't get to go home to a completely cleaned area where they don't have to worry about the sickness themselves. They go back to their car and they sleep and they get back up and they go in and serve. Are they being paid well to do this? No. But they're giving of themselves. The two nurses that have made the news in the United States, they've gone in to serve the sick, knowing that they could be infected, knowing the risk to themselves, and yet they're going and they're serving the sick. And
You know, two of the nurses, two of the many, have been infected. But they're going, and is anyone twisting their arm saying, you should be in there? No, there's a passion in these people to serve. There's a passion there. And when that is in you, and there's a sense of these people are hurting, I can't wait to get there. That's a gift of helps. That's a gift. It's not someone saying, you should help more. You should have more compassion. You should care more than you do. That doesn't actually help you. But when compassion is stirring in you, and the poor and the needy, you see them and you're like, I'm running in that direction. That is the gift of helps. It is inspired by God. That is an amazing pastoral gift in the church. Caring for the people God cares for. When we get to serve as a church, families who come in, and World Relief is calling me again this week, hey, we're waiting on a couple of applications from your church so we can get you connected with another family. Okay, we're working on it. We're working our administrative side so that we can do what I love to do. And when we get to engage with families who come in, you know, Thierry's helping us with this. Thierry's going to be a part of a team from our church helping engage families that are coming. Well, Thierry came as a refugee. And now Thierry is serving with us as we welcome in more families. Amazing. Amazing. This is also a gift of helps as we are serving those who come needy and also have a lot to serve. I'm going to keep going or this could take all day. I get excited about this. Gift of administration. My wife will like the definition of this. Governing. Governing or wise counsel. Wise counsel. Someone who understands how to manage church affairs. Now, this is related to the life of the church, and that's why we're saying church affairs. This isn't just, I am an administrative person, and I'm good in the business world. This is someone who is gifted by God to understand how to administer the affairs of the church and see the kingdom advance. Now, sometimes these people will also have natural, practical, administrative skills in the business world. That's great. What we can tend to do is flip this on its head, though, and say, this person has great managerial skills. We're going to put them in charge of the ministry of the church and the vision of the church. When we put administration in charge of the mission of the church, what tends to happen is micromanagement, and we're trying to over-administrate, and so the vision is constantly being challenged by, well, how are we going to do that? We can't really do that. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. When you put administrative people in charge, it can squash prophetic vision. But when you bring administrative gifting alongside a leadership gift, you can say, this is the vision. How can we accomplish this? How can we build a track to see this happen? And I love, Randy, Simon, and I were talking yesterday for a couple hours. Our five-minute conversation turned into a fantastic 2 hours on the phone. And Randy thinks processes. And I love that. Way more than I think processes. So I was like, oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So the gift of administration, this is someone who understands how to get things done. When I was running the marathon last week, I was so appreciative. Someone had marked the course. Every time there was a turn in the course and where there was, I could go this way or I could go this way, there was someone standing there directing traffic, telling us where to go. There were water stations set up along the way. There was nutrition stations set up along the way. when I got to the finish line, someone had marked where the finish line would be and had lots of cheering sections all through the course that had been set up ahead of time, and thought, the runners are going to need encouragement about here. They're going to need encouragement about here. They're going to need encouragement. And someone had taken care of all of that. And I finished, they had timed us. We knew down to the hundredth of a second how fast we had run. Like, wow, some administrative person did a great job, and all I had to do was run my race. So good. We need administrators. They help us all run the race. Help us run well. Jesus is a great example of this. In Mark chapter 6, 32 through 34, there's a story of Jesus trying to take his disciples out into a quiet countryside scene. And the people find out where he is. And they come by the thousands, thousands and thousands. It says there were 5,000 men. It doesn't count how many women and children were there. So you've got thousands and thousands who have found Jesus. The only thing that the disciples would have set up was, well, there's Jesus and us. What are we going to do for food? Well, we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll fast and pray. What are we going to do? Well, now there's thousands of people. And Jesus says to them, give them something to eat. What? What do you mean? Who planned this? Right? Give them something to eat. And they bring him 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Not enough. But any way you imagine it, not even close to enough food, right? And Jesus says some things to them. He says, I want you to have them sit down. Have the people sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Sit them down. Break them up into groups. Okay. Now, go feed them. And Jesus does a miraculous sign. And they turn 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough food to feed everyone who's there. Can you imagine going out and you're handing out bread and the bread just keeps coming? Like you're breaking it off and there's more. And you break and there's more. It just keeps coming. So very cool. And we emphasize that a lot, right? Here's the miraculous feeding of 5,000 men, probably at least double that with women and children. So Jesus says, have them sit down in specific groups. I want you to go feed them. And then what happens at the end? They clean up all the leftovers. These guys would have been the best Boy Scouts. Leave no trace. They're out in the countryside and they clean it all up and they have 12 baskets full of leftovers. They clean it all up. Think what the ministry they could do just with their leftovers. But Jesus administrates the miracle. Isn't that cool? We need this gift, guys. We very much need this gift. And what they do, these two gifts, helping and administration, that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12:28, they support and empower apostolic and prophetic vision. They provide the tracks, they provide practical outworking of kingdom purpose. Now, they're not meant to direct or rule over the vision, but they are meant to enable it. Let's go to the next slide. These two gifts are referred to in various passages of Scripture. Romans 12:7, Acts chapter 6, 1 through 4, 1 Timothy 3, 6 through 13, as the roles of deacon and deaconess in the church. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone who has an administrative gifting needs to be a deacon or a deaconess, but there are specific roles in the church where we need these gifts of administration and compassion, service to
the poor and the needy. The early church saw to it that this was taken care of, and we called them deacons. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we find instructions for the guys who are going to make sure that the poor are fed, the needy are cared for. We find instructions on how these men and women are to be. They're not to be drunks. They're not to be hot-tempered. They're not to be erratic people. They're to be stable. They're to be people you can rely on and who will represent the church well to the poor, the sick. I'm just going to say, because this can be a controversial thing that I just said, depending on where you grew up, what your church background may or may not be. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, what gets translated here, the word deaconess often gets translated as deacons' wives. The challenge is that's not what the Greek actually says. It uses the male word for a deacon, and then uses the female word for a deaconess, and gives instructions on the character of male deacons and female deaconesses. So as the church grows, these gifts, we want to see these gifts used. We want to see people who are not just detail-oriented, but who are empowered by God to serve the poor, to serve the sick, helping the church care for the hurting. It's an important gift. It's there in Scripture. There's more I could say about deacons and deaconesses because they do more than only that. But that will suffice for today. Now, we also read from Romans chapter 12, another list of gifts. And I'm quickly going to go through these. Again, be listening. God is one of these, or maybe more than one of these, a way that you have empowered and are empowering me to build up the body here. So let's go on to the next thing. Which gift or gifts describes you? Now, this is an interesting one. This is from the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 31, God specifically says these two men, great names, Bezalel and Oholiab. I'm guessing most of you don't have that on your list of baby names, or names that you hope your grandchildren will have, Bezalel and Oholiab. And it says that God himself put his spirit into them with specific purpose, that they would be very wise and understanding in art, in craftsmanship, in ability and know-how to work with their hands, for the beautification of and the building of the tabernacle of God. Isn't that cool? There's this understanding, both a mechanical understanding. When I read this, literally, I read this and I thought, gosh, that sounds like Harry Maris. Where there's this know-how that he has that I don't have. And it's a different gifting that God puts it. Now, I tend on the artsy side. And creativity. I've got that. But there's this craftsmanship that is a gift of God to his people. Cool. Now, the next one you're going to love, and it's probably good that we sent all the kids out. Celibacy. Woo! 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 7 through 9. And this is the gift that says, you know what? I don't need to be married because that sexual drive is not strong in me. I can totally commit myself to the kingdom of God. Okay? It's saying I don't have the drive that most people naturally do. Male and female are naturally designed by God to want to be married and, you know, to enjoy sex. And The gospel writers are not apologetic. Scripture writers are not apologetic. Paul is very clear. Hey, guys, gals, don't deprive your husband or your wife. You need to be together sexually. That is the way it's designed. He says, some people are gifted by God, like me, Paul is saying this, like me, where I don't need to be married. But most people are not. So there's a gift of God there that enables you. This is why would you have a gift like this? To make the kingdom of God the main priority of your life. Okay, so there's a different gift. Just guessing, most of you don't have it. Because Paul said that. Most of you adults in the room are married. If you have that gift and you're married, sorry, you don't get to use that gift. Okay, moving on. Service. And this is the same word where we get the word deacon and deaconess. We try to make a deacon be this huge role. It just means one who serves. But this isn't the deacon. This is just someone who serves. Like, you're thinking, what grand gift can I have in the body of Christ? You can be empowered by God to serve. Just to serve. What needs to be done? I want to help make it happen. That's a supernatural gift of God to serve. Okay, keep going. Exhortation. This is, keep going a little bit more. There we go. Exhortation, persuasive encouragement, entreaty, and comfort. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples of this. Thierry and I were talking about this guy yesterday morning. William Wallace. One of not that I'm directly descended from William Wallace, but if you follow the Meek line back, where that will take you to is Scotland. And so even though I've got all kinds of different nationalities and different heritage, I've German, French, Italian, Dutch, 2 Native American tribes, lots of stuff. 2%. I am 2% African. That is the truth. I am not making that up. I am 2% African, although I have no idea what region or what tribe, no idea. But I am 2% African. But when you trace my name back, if you trace the male line lineage back through my family, we go back to Scotland. And William Wallace was a Scottish chieftain. Pretty amazing guy. Normally if you've seen the movie Braveheart, what you didn't hear in Braveheart, what you didn't learn in Braveheart, was that William Wallace actually had the entire book of Psalms memorized. The entire book of Psalms. He was a worshiper. He loved God. He loved his word. And he was also a chieftain trying to keep the English from just taking over his people. And William Wallace would stir his troops, stir the army. Now, what he's not saying to them is, hey, all you Scots, you should fight harder. What are you thinking? What he does is he calls them to his side. He calls them to stand with him. And he's commanding strength into his men. He's commanding courage into his men. And in the same way, if you've ever read or seen the movies of The Lord of the Rings, Aragorn, the rightful king, he stands toward the end of the series with all of his men and a huge horde of enemy forces surrounding them. And he says, there may come a day when the strength of men fails. But it is not this day. You know, and he says, you know, there may come a day when, you know, basically when we don't succeed. But it is not this day. This is exhortation. It's not beating them up. It's not rebuking them for their fear.
or their weakness, but it's commanding strength into them, saying, come and stand with me. Rah! That's the gift of exhortation. It calls us to life. Kind of like Billy Graham, actually, on a slightly less raw version. Less swords and battle axes. But Billy Graham would call people to come to Jesus. Very clear, very compelling. This is exhortation. Keep going. Next gift, giving. Giving and generosity. And this is an openness of heart revealed through generosity. Yeah. Openness of heart. Now, this is the gift of giving. This is not you should give more. And someone coming after you and saying, hey, we've been tracking your giving, and you know, you really should be doing a lot more with that. No. It's the gift of giving, overflowing. Your heart is overflowing in generosity. You find out there's a need, you want to fill it. Like what's going on in the church? What's happening? It's friends. What's going? We want to bless you. We just want to bless you. I want to take care of that need. I want to do what I can do. It's an overflowing from your heart. This is a gift. There's people in the church who have this gift. Cool. Keep going. Leadership. Leadership. To be over, to superintend, and to care for. Leadership. We need people like this. You don't have to be an elder in the church to be a great leader. You know, Tammy leads our worship team. You might see me actually leading songs more on Sunday, but that's temporary. But Tammy actually plans that. Tammy's praying about where we're going, what are we doing, setting up practices, and saying, hey, we need to do this, we need to do this, and providing leadership to that area in the church. You can bring direction, bring vision into different areas in the church where you serve, and not only to come alongside someone else's vision, but to step up and lead, provide direction. Okay? Leadership. Lastly, we have mercy. Way down there at the bottom. Mercy. And this is acts of mercy. To have mercy on, to help, again, helping the afflicted. This is a very active word. Would be naturally partnering with the gift of helps or the gift of healing. Where you're engaging in not only I feel compassion, but I'm acting on compassion. So all of these gifts, valid gifts inspired by God, maybe less flashy. Maybe you won't even see them happening in a Sunday morning meeting. And yet we need these gifts in the church. So here's the question, guys. What gift or gifts has God given you? Because if you are a Christian, if you are someone who follows Jesus, God has not left you out. This isn't just for people who have been here a long time. You may not even speak English yet. But you have a gift that is needed in this body. So let's just close your eyes if you're willing. I'm going to ask you this. Are you using the gifts God has given you? Are you activated in how God has gifted you to build up his church? And I want to ask you this too. Are you serving in God's strength, or are you relying on your strength to do what God has called you to do? Father, would you come and speak to our hearts about this really practical thing today?